One of the things that I'm grateful for, as we talk about all the other things that we can thank God for, it is the miracle of salvation. It is the miracle of salvation. As Greg was sharing his testimony, and we talk about where we once were and where we are now, those of us who are saved, we can say it's nothing less than a miracle that God would cause such a deep change to take place inwardly, and then the change that has taken place within us manifests without. But it begins in the heart. God has done something. So that's something that I want to talk about today, because, and I'm going to talk about God's benefit package, and I'm just going to take a few minutes, and you watch it. It's going to be a short message today, and if I have to carry it over, we'll do it, finish it up later on. But God's miracle package, because our benefit package, and we see it written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 7, and he says, "For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God." Now, you listen to these words. The earth drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and then it bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated. So the cultivator, the one that's cultivating, can enjoy the benefits of the labor, but God brings the rain. Are you following? You tracking me? And then it says, but the blessings of God is there, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Then verse 9 is where I'm focusing our attention upon. It says, but we see nature. And I've been talking about the natural gifts and the spiritual gifts, that which we have, all of it came from God. But then as we give our hearts and lives to the Lord, there are spiritual gifts that he gives us. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, and here it is, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. And in this, we are talking about God's benefit package, the benefits of things that accompany salvation, the things that came with the package. When we gave our hearts and lives to the Lord, there was a lot contained within that that many have not taken full advantage of. I would venture to say none of us have taken full advantage of all that God has in his package once we've come to the place of salvation. It's all a part of the package. You probably heard stories about people taking trips on cruises, and then they want to know, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? What hotel are we going to sleep in? What food are we going to eat? It's all in the package. He's talking about the things that we have. We have these things. And then we think about having, and then there are those who wish to have or want to have, wishful thinking, wishing upon a star. The one that we worship has us to soar beyond the stars. This is what the scripture says as we begin to look at this benefit package. First Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no one boast in man. He says, for all things are yours. Now, what he's really saying to us is that I've given you all things. I've given you everything. Everything is ours. He says, and then he says, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Second Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. Now listen to what it says, All things are yours. All things are yours. And then he says, that pertain to life. It's important to understand what we have in the package. Those things that pertain to life and godliness or godlikeness within the package. The thing that gives us life, that which is life, that which keeps us at a place where life is preserved. But not only is life preserved, but life is extended through what we have received from the Lord, what God has given us. These are the things that he has given us. So now we're talking about the extension of life. We're talking about things pertaining to life and godliness, abundant life, extended life. But more than this, eternal life. We'll talk about eternal life, more time. No, not just more time, more than this. Entering into the realm of timeless eternity. That's where we have been given, where there is no time. We've entered into that realm. Just recently, we saw the space exploration with Blue Origin. In fact, they're getting ready to take another trip in December, and I think Michael Strahan's supposed to be on that trip. And those that have traveled in space called it a life-changing experience. When they go beyond the atmosphere, hemisphere, ionosphere, when they get to that height, the rules and laws that govern things upon the earth are no longer applicable. Because now they've gone beyond the level of gravity. The gravity that holds us. Gravity, the gravitational pull that keeps us bound to the earth or earthward. Now just a physical, when we look at it, it's just a physical depiction of time and space as we are held prisoners here. Do you realize you can't fly if you tried? You can jump high, but you can't jump high and continue to go higher because we are prisoners. We are prisoners and captives to certain limitations. But the Bible says he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godlikeness. God frees us from all limitations as we're in the position to soar. I put it this way, and God placed my heart this morning, boundless beauty. Boundless beauty. We talk about no limitations, no constraints, nothing to hold us down, nothing to hold us back. Why? Because now we travel at the speed of thought. We operate and able to fulfill those things that God has placed within our hearts. Our heart, look, can you imagine that? The thing that we desire, we begin to desire it, and then we reach that place of fulfillment. We've had a lot of homegoings recently, and when we began to do these homegoings, the thing that I'm assigned to do is preach the eulogy, but the objective is to give people a glimpse of glory. I want them to just get an idea of what it might be like to be on the other side because we can't see it. But God reveals it to us by way of his Spirit. So when I'm getting older now, and the older you get, the more you think about, look here, that's good. A believer, even getting old, can think about his or her future. Can you imagine this now? When you get to a certain age, many people are thinking about, I'm planning my funeral, and I'm looking at how people are going to be taken care of, and all that's good. But can you imagine this? A person that's about to leave this life planning his future. That's what we're talking about. Because we talk about an endless life. There's no end. That's what God offers us when he gives us eternal life, eternal beauty. And then, how do we know it? What does God do in order to help us to understand this? He gives us a glimpse of eternity. This is what he said to his believers when he began to, they asked the question, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it's not been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He says, been given. He said, what I've given you, I've given you a glimpse of the glory. There's something within you that is yet to be developed over time. Over time. When we thank God, when we're praising God, here's what happens. Praise, when we're praising God and thanking God, we're thanking him for what he's already shown us. We're thanking God for what he's already revealed to us. This is what Thanksgiving is all about. Lord, I'm appreciative of what you have at this juncture in my life made known to me. Therefore, I thank you. I thank you for the benefits that I am aware of. But then the Lord says to us, if you think that's something, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because then we get to the place where we begin to, last night, magnify the Lord. We begin to magnify the Lord. When we talk about magnifying the Lord, what are we doing? Then this is the expanse that takes place within us. We begin to see him as being greater than the problem, greater than the situation, greater than whatever we may be encountering. God is greater than. So we magnify him. We begin, in other words, he is enlarged over whatever we are dealing with. And as we magnify the Lord says, this is what we worship him. We're worshiping him. And the Lord begins to show us things about himself that we weren't even in position to see beforehand. We weren't even in the position to see that until we begin to worship him. What is worship? Worship is man's active response to God's revelation of himself, whereby we declare his worth. But listen to say, but as we declare worship, as we declare his worth based upon what he has revealed to us in praise, and then his worth increases as we magnify the Lord, because he becomes larger than, greater than, more than. And then the Lord says, now you're postured for me to show you more than you were postured to see beforehand. So he says, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven, the place of God's abode, but it's not been given to them to know. But then they would say, well, we don't know, but it's been given to you to know. But it's yours to begin to explore the things that accompany salvation. Once you've given your heart to the Lord, you're now on an exploration journey. God is ready to show you things that you had never, ever imagined beforehand. That's what God is doing in your hearts, in your lives. So what are we doing? We're thanking God, but we're anticipating God to take us beyond this place. And he continues. That's why the angels begin to say, holy, 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 holy. That's based upon insight and revelation. The Lord began to show the angels something of himself, and they say, holy. And then the other angel will say, holy. And throughout all eternity, God will begin to expose or reveal aspects of who he is throughout eternity. And you won't be bored there. Why? Because you'll be so awed in the presence. I always talk about this word awe or awesome being a word that's reserved only for God. Because when we talk about awe, he takes our breath away. Now, I'm going to close, but let's look at a couple of the scriptures. He says here in Acts chapter 20, he says, this is Paul. He said, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Understand what happens. I will give you all things. He talked about in a particular reference, but he says, I didn't withhold anything from you. I wanted to, you see, this is God giving. I give you those things that will be needful to you so that you can progress in your walk. and in your relationship with the Lord. I kept back nothing. Paul began to say that. And that's the whole objective, is to make sure that you're fully equipped, because he says to us that he has given us all things. I kept back nothing. And then he talks about us, and he says, I've given you everything that the Son has in his possession. Everything that Jesus Christ possesses, he said, these are the things I've given to the sons of men. The scripture that helps me to understand that is what he says, and this is what he is saying to us. He says, Hebrews 2 and 5, he said, what is man? First of all, let's look at this. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place. Now listen to that part. He said, he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. We talk about all things are yours. He is really saying that not just the things that we see in nature, but the things that are yet being discovered, he says, that I didn't put them to be subjected to angels. He says, but this is the world to come of which we speak. But one testified in a certain place saying, and this is the testimony. What is man? What is mankind? What is this little creature that's so weak, that's so frail? What is this little thing in contrast to one angel? What is this little man that you are mindful of him, that you focus your attention, all the galaxies, all of the planets, all of creation, but you would concentrate your mind or concentrate your efforts upon this little puny speck of dirt that occupies time and space, upon this little planet that they call the Earth? What, and when we talk about mankind, now we talk about an individual. What is this individual that you call this man that you would be so concerned about his welfare and his well-being? And then he says, or the son of man that you care, you take care of him. He said, you made him a little lower than the Elohim. You made him a little lower than the angels, because when we begin to look at it, the way he's put together, he's small and he's minuscule in contrast or comparison to an angel. He said, but here's what you do, future tense, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. You began to crown him with glory and honor. You said the things of the kingdom, he said, he has made known to the sons of men. He said, you crowned him with glory and honor, and then you set him over all the works of your hands. So all the planetary explorations, all the things that's being yet discovered, God says, when I gave you dominion, look how he started. I gave you dominion in the garden first. Take care of the garden. Take care of this little speck of soil that's called a garden. But you're being trained. You're being prepared to take care of the whole earth. Then he says, that's not the extent of it. While you've been given dominion over the earth, that's not the full extent of the dominion that I desire to give mankind over all the works of my hand. He says, so now you will rule over angels. You will rule over planets. You see, this is what God has in mind. Things that are accompany salvation. Once you're saved, you just peep through the peephole of all the blessings that God has in store for you. You just look, you see, we come to the door, and all we do is get to the door and gaze at the door. And he says, I want you to enter in. And the Bible says, and come in and out into. Listen to the word. He says, when you look in, he says, you come in, then some people think it's in and out. No, you come in and out into, and you find green pastures. He said, you begin to discover all that God has in store. Now, watch what he says. I've made him so that when he peeped through the peephole of the kingdom, he'll realize that his dominion is so widespread that all of God's creation, he will, if you're faithful over few things, he said, I'll make you rulers over many things. He said, I've crowned him with glory and honor, set him over the works of my hands, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. And then we say, well, how is this going to happen? How is it going to take place? But now, we do not yet see all things put under him. We don't see. We see chaos. We see confusion. We see things that are in, we see things in turmoil. And we wonder, what is he talking about when he says that he has placed all things under his feet? He is saying that my kingdom is my creation. All that I made is a part of my kingdom. And he says, and when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it is saying that the rule of God will actually cover or take precedence over all things. He said, well, we don't see it yet. But what do we see? We see Jesus, the Son of God. We see Jesus, the Son of God. We see the one that was involved in creation, the one from which all things were created. And that's now our elder brother. So that all things are ours because all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So now we see Jesus, who, here's this whole thing, we made man a little lower than angels, who when he came in human flesh, he was a little lower than the Elohim. He was made a little lower than the angels in his human form. For he suffered for the suffering of death. Watch what happens. He was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So what do we have to be grateful for? As a result of him tasting death for everyone, now we can share in his life. So thank God for salvation. Thank God for the gift of salvation. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you the glory for saving us from the power of sin, from the influences of the world, and from the grips of the devil. And as a result of us being saved, we now can take as our own the benefit package that you offer us. Now that we've received the gift of salvation, our question is, what can we give in response to what we have received? What can we do in response to what we receive? So we take the gift. We receive the benefits. And we continue to explore those mysteries that are before us. So we give you the honor, we give you the praise, And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving Day 2021. God has called us to a new place in Him. All that we went through, everything that we're going through is preparation. We're being trained to reign. We're being trained to reign with Him. How long? Forever and ever. That applied to the believer. To the believer. You said, well, what good is it to believe on the Lord? You see, it's much more than just easy believism, but it's trusting God with your life, trusting God with your future, trusting God with everything pertaining to you. If you're here today, you've not given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ, or if you're watching now and you've not given your heart, your life to the Lord, the Lord is saying, He is saying that His love is not conditioned upon your response, because if that be the case, no one would be saved. But He loved us first. He loved us first. Therefore, He empowers us by loving us to respond. It's just a matter of accepting the fact that you are loved by Him and that God has a purpose much greater than you could possibly imagine for your life. He wants to give you eternal life. Not the superficial things. We mentioned last night about the love. We talked about love and goodness and how love can be fantasy. Love can be puppy love. But the true love has to be redefined. But it's defined by what the Lord has to offer. That's when people can come in and out of relationship because they've not really understood or realized true love. But if you're here, you've not given your heart to the Lord. If you're watching, you've not given your heart to the Lord. The Lord is saying there, He put before us life, death, blessings, cursings. Choose. Choose life. Choose life. Receive the life that He offers. So I'll pray for you now, but I always ask you to do the praying, to ask the Lord to come into your heart, your life. So Father, I pray that Your word will pierce and penetrate any resistance that may reside within any heart, because we realize that over the years we've been exposed to so many things that are contrary to Your will for our lives, that in the natural it would be impossible for us to see what is being said here today. But Lord, You have a way of making a way and causing our hearts to be pliable in Your hands so that the word can reach its target. So I pray that those that have heard this message now is ready to give their hearts and lives to You, that they will not put it off and think that what they're sensing now will always be there, but the conviction that's present at this moment is your work in them, so that who You are and what You offer is real. So we pray that they'll not, when they hear Your voice, they'll not harden their hearts, but they'll receive what You have offered, that they might also attain to the benefits of salvation. So now, if you've heard this and you are one of the people that want to give your heart to the Lord, ask Him in your words to come into your heart, come into your life. Believe the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is sufficient enough for your life to be totally transformed, to be changed. He'll give you a new heart. You say, well, this is what I feel right now. Don't worry about that. God will handle that. If you surrender your heart to Him, He'll give you a new heart. You say, the soul will be renewed. The soul will be constantly renewed as you hear the word of God, the word which is being spoken, it's really appealing to you for even changes to take place within your life. It applies to you. So if you have not surrendered your heart to the Lord, you want to do it now. If you're here, would you raise your hand? We just want to have someone to pray with you. If you're watching, raise your heart. Let us know that you're responding, and the information's on the screen as to how you may reach to us, but let us know that you've asked the Lord to come into your heart, to your life. And the Lord is more than willing to receive you into his family, and you'll be a part of our family as well. Amen. Amen. Praise God.